Ephesians chapter 2. We want to finish off where Pastor has started last week in the book of Ephesians, one of the favorite books of the Bible. For many of you Bible students, this is the New Testament mirror of the Old Testament book of Joshua. There's a lot of correlating truths between both the scriptures, the book of Joshua, and Ephesians. And I'm going to finish off the second half of what Pastor John started. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 11, I'm reading out of the New King James, so let me read it in your hearing. It says, therefore, remember. How many times, every time you see the word remember, what do you think it means? Remember. It means there's something that has to be highlighted here in the next few verses that we read that we want to make sure we don't forget. And so whenever we see the word remember, it's not just we just read through scriptures and we're reading the same text over and over, but there is a clause in there. Therefore, remember, a continuation of thought and to remember something. Kind of like what Mama always used to say, I told you, how many parents in this room, I told you not to go outside without a coat, or I told you to do this or do that. Anybody, young people, we had a lot of young people in first service, like, you ever have those remember type things? Remember, I told you, and I told you that, I told you to do that. So here Paul is telling us to remember this particular continued thought. He says, you were once Gentiles in the flesh. You were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you were who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through Christ, thereby putting to death the enmity or the strife or the contention. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built up unto the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Let's pray. God, we know that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Circumstances come and go. People come and go. We geographically move about in our lifetime and in our journey, but you are a constant. You are the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. You will always be there, God, no matter what. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, and you gave us your word. So I'm asking today, God, that whatever is spoken out of here, out of these lips of clay, it's not Al Perez and Al Perez's opinions, but it is the infallible, immutable word of the living God. So shall your word be that goeth forth from your mouth, and it shall not return void. And so I'm asking you here in this place, let your word change somebody's heart in this place today. We didn't come to listen to just sermons. We didn't come here to come to church just out of obligation. We came here because it's been a hard week. We're going through some things. We're going through transition. We're trying to make decisions. We're battling through some things that we need to hear from heaven. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to title this message this morning. We spoke in first service. The title of this message is Breaking Barriers. Breaking Barriers. When we look at this text, here, Paul is speaking to two kinds of religious people, Jew and Gentile. And I'm going to bring you back to give you some context of why we're talking about this, because in the Old Testament, God spoke to a man named Abram. He said, Abram, come out from your father's house. Abram, his father, it's interesting to note, there's nothing new under the sun, and the devil has nothing new to use. Interesting to note, when Brother Kareem was here, coming from Babylon, coming from the Middle East, a lot of the pagan worship and the worship of sun gods and moon gods, and there's nothing new under the sun. From every dynasty and from every historic regime throughout history, certain symbols were always indicative of those cultures, and the moon or the crescent moon or the moon gods, particularly in Abraham's father's case, Terah, his father, the Bible says, worship the moon god. And if you look throughout human history, you'll see, the crescent moon, or you'll see those particular type of symbols all throughout ancient Middle Eastern history, even into modern history. And so he tells them, you're going to come out from your father's house. I'm going to bring you into a land. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make your name great, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. You're not going to be able to count them. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to reveal my goodness to you so that all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. And so it starts there. But then as he begins to bring Abraham on this journey into ultimately through, as you know, the patriarchs, and gonna still keep his covenant and his promise, because he is God and he never fails. He's not like people who make promises and tell you what they're gonna do and I have your back and everything. God still sticks to his word. Amen. Isn't that good to know? And just whenever you're feeling sorry for yourself, you always go back to the scriptures, and God will always comfort you through the scriptures and encourages you. That's why it's so important to read the scriptures and read the word of God. And I love it when we go through Ephesians and we go through the Bible, because there are just some little passages of scriptures and things that we can hold on to, especially if you're going through something tough or you're going through a trial, you're going through some hardship. And so as he brings them into this place of promise, and you guys know the story, ultimately God brings them out of Egypt, and he's bringing them, across the wilderness, and there he's still keeping his word about a place that he has for the people of Israel, and going through, catching up. Let's fast forward to, we talked earlier about the fact that he told Moses, when Moses brought him up, want to build a tabernacle, and in this tabernacle there's going to be these, and I said earlier, the tabernacle was kind of like the church on wheels for Israel, if you will, and then ultimately David's son Solomon, because David was a man that shed much blood by his hands, God's like, you're not going to be the one to build the temple. It's going to be your son, and your son Solomon is going to build this, and it was a grand building, and it had very specific things and dimensions and everything that God wanted for it. And in the temple, we also know there were delineations in the temple. And in the temple, there was what was called the court of the Jews, or this big open vast space that if you, and there were also, women were allowed to also be in this big open expanse. And then there was this, the place of the Jews, or the court of the Jews, which had high priests, or men could go. We talked about it earlier, how women were not allowed to in that culture. So there was already a wall of division, not only in terms of Jew and Gentile, but also for men and women. And then there was also the Holy of Holies, of which only once time during the year the high priest could offer up sacrifice on behalf of the sins of the people. And that was only one time of the year that he would go in and do that on behalf of the people. He'd have to make sure he was okay, because if he wasn't, and they had tied the bells around his ankle, and if he had sin in his life and he walked up in there and just went, they could hear the bells jingle. It's like, he's dead. Pull him out. Because God's a holy God. And so we had all these walls. These separations, people separate. Paul says, at one time you and I were separated without hope and without God in the world. Can you ever remember where you were in your life before you came to know who Jesus was? I can tell you, I was a messed up kid coming from a dysfunctional alcoholic home with a lot of generational issues that I could possibly not bury or dig my way out of. There's absolutely no way in your own strength, in your own flesh, in your own intellect, in your own background, in your own pedigree, no matter where you come from, there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to dig yourself out by any human effort to earn God's love, God's approval, or God's acceptance, or God's forgiveness for that matter. That's what religion does. Religion makes you go through all these hoops and be this good person, and I've been saved for 20 years, so therefore I'm more holy than she is. And people walk around in the church with these different layers and different levels of spirituality. When the Bible says we all fall short, and every day, whether in thought, word, or deed, whether you see it, know it, or think about it, we're always looking for the new mercy of the Lord and the grace of God that's new every day. I don't know about you, but even pastors need it. every day. We need the grace, the blood of Jesus every day. And so here they are. We have these delineations, these walls. Okay? So Paul is talking here and he's saying, you know, there was a time speaking to the Gentiles here. This is a time when you were way over here. You're in the furthest place. Remember? Remember, you were way over here, aliens, strangers. And the division he's talking about is religious division here. He's not, and which also has also ethnic connotations as well, Jew and Gentile, but also in terms of one serving pagan gods, one. But he says, you know what I'm doing under Christ? Under Christ, I'm pushing down the walls that are there, that stand between men, women, Jew, Gentile. I'm tearing down these walls that are there so that all can come to me, Hebrews says, in a new and a living way. Wow. There is no barriers in Christ. All can come. All fall short, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can be a business CEO in West Des Moines for a big insurance company and still need Jesus, or you could be the homeless guy that comes walking through those double doors and sits down in the back and nobody knows him, he smells, and nobody, he has no family here, and he's just looking for somebody to reach out to him, to feed him, or to help him. Both men, both in places, both need the Lord. Amen. There isn't this little nebulous in-between place where we can just think we can come in and say, well, you know, there's no 1 foot here and 1 foot here. A wall has been brought down through Jesus Christ. He pushed it down so that all of us can now come to a holy God. All of us can experience a holy God through his Son and the perfected work of the cross. Him dying, raised from the dead, we can now come into his presence. I don't need a high priest with a bell on his foot. I don't need some church to give me all these decrees to get through. See, I used to come from a tradition where the man of God was the one that only knew the scriptures and he had to tell you it, and you had to do this and do that and do the other thing. That's what religion does. Religion sometimes could put more barriers after Christ knocked them down. We talked in first service. Do you know there's no such thing as the black church? No such thing as the Latino church, and no such thing as this church or that church. Christ didn't die for our denominational leanings. I'm going to say something very controversial here. This may shake up a few folks because I'm in a Lutheran church, but let me just tell you something. I work with all kinds of pastors from all kinds of traditions, and I come from myself. I'm not going to argue with you whether or not Calvinism or Arminianism is one way is right over another. I'm not going to sit here and argue over the 16 fundamental truths or the 12 fundamental truths or whatever it is. When you start to put those, there's one thing for me saying, you know what? As this particular group of people, as I understand and read scriptures, they appeal more closely to the theological leanings I have. Not somebody that decides from the top what you need to believe and you don't have a brain and you can't figure it out for yourself and read the scriptures, and there's a lot of denominations. Like, if you don't believe this, you can't be a part of this. This is wall. Wall. Then we wonder why the people who are far off from God don't come to church. You want to know why? Because which one is right? Is it this church? Is it that church? And I deal with a lot of people who don't know God, and it's like, which one do they pick and choose? Because in their mind is, which one's the right one? What they're really looking for is somebody that can show them, he says, you are far off, but they spoke peace to you. Somebody needs peace in their life. They don't need your doctrinal creed. They don't need this or that or the other thing. I know that might have offended somebody, but I'm not here to try to offend you. I'm just telling you, in a city full of 600 and something odd churches, half of those are probably not even evangelical, that are in this community, how do you pick and know which is the right one to God? And this idea, notion that all God's, all these religions of faith, no, it don't. Through Jesus Christ, the one man, he's the only way. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's not anyone comes to the Father save by me. I'm the door. I'm the only one you can come through. I'm the only barrier, if you will. And the only way you can have access to the Father is through him. Say yes to Jesus. He is the door. Who's knocked down every door and barrier? So there's tension here. Because you have these people over here who are like, hey, we're God's chosen people. God gave us the law. We're the chosen people of God. God gave Abraham, our father, and then you got people who had no reference point all of a sudden coming both into the church at the same time. It's like, whoa. I said in first service, it's like somebody from ISIS coming in here who just got saved, came and sat down right next to us, and then you have somebody else who's been in the church all their whole life, and it's like you're both in the same place, same grace. God loved you both. You both said yes to Jesus, but this idea and preference one over another. That's why James says, why is it? James corrects the church there. He says, why is it that you let all the rich people come up and sit up front in your churches, but everybody that's poor, you give them a back seat. You sit them back there. Why does everybody that's got money and, you know, the nice people get to sit up in front, but you neglect the ones in your assembly that don't have money? You see how we're always putting walls up and we're always putting divide. And when Christ, especially in the church, we do this all the time. In fact, the church is the most segregated hour on Sunday morning anywhere. Anywhere. That's why I love Kareem's story up here. It's a powerful one because you know what? I will tell you, you're not going to find many places in Des Moines where there are pastors who are willing, and as Pastor Brent got through singing a little bit earlier, I said it to first service, and think about the song you're singing. Fear, the fear of man, fear will keep you out from what God wants to bring you into. And when you have fear over people groups, I've heard a lot of pastors, well, you have to be careful around the Iraqis and the Syrians, and do you know Muslims need to be, you want to be careful, and blah, 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 and they try to instill fear in everything. And yet you saw right here how a man came to Jesus because a woman who had reservations about it decided to say, yeah, I'm going to come on over and want to help. It changes her life. It changes his whole life. And through one man, just like the woman in the scriptures that the Bible says who was a Samaritan, it took one woman who got an encounter with God, with Jesus at the well, and a whole city gets saved. What if Kareem's life invested here at Zion touches an entire Iraqi community for the glory of God? Wow. And not just that. All it takes is one person from any community. You could be from any community here. The reason why I love being here is because this expresses really what Christ died for. All the nations, all the ethnos are right here in this room. And you have a Latino this morning just to preach to you. See, that's God right there. The fact that God would celebrate all the nations of the earth and he died for all men, all nations. That's what the church should look like. It doesn't mean all the time that we're going to agree. It doesn't mean all the time. Look, I'll tell you, there are things about Latino people, and I'll just say it, that might annoy you and get on your nerves, you know? They can be demonstrative. They can be loud, and they can be, and that, you know, there are some things in everybody's culture that it's annoying to one another, yet we have to remember Christ died for all. You know what I mean? This blesses my heart, what I see up here, because I know a lot of pastors in a lot of churches, and I can tell you in private conversations, don't think that John Klein certainly hasn't paid a price or certainly has not in any way had to deal with things just to make that thing happen. You're kidding yourself. I know too many pastors that won't even touch it, don't even want Muslim people. I've been up here during the day, and there are Muslim women with the hijabs coming through here looking for help. What better way to show them Jesus? Or do we just do this? No, Christ tore down the walls. All the barriers. That means even in our community. I shared in first service here, you know, that God has called you and I to be barrier breakers. Go into all community. You know, sitting here this last week, we were sharing at first service. Right over here, I had the chief of police in here on Thursday. I had him in here the first time, and I had pastors all around him praying over him. A governmental agency in the church. Should be a dividing wall. I had a teacher come in from Harding. Many of you guys heard of what happened this week. Is there young people in here? Okay, I want to be careful what I say. We had a young person go down this week. And do you know, it was a pastor that was the first responder that found him when that young person died from North. And that pastor was in this building on Thursday, and he was crying. And there were pastors right here in this spot praying for him. Saw it all from his window. And then I had a principal who had three of the siblings in the school come in this building and ask for help. I could have said, you know what? We're the church here. You're the school. Or they could have said, separation of church and state, you're over here and we're over here. They could have done that. Because we like to put walls there, what people can or cannot do. Let me tell you something. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. When Jesus said, go into all the world, that what did not mean that you had restrictions. You have the living God, and there's no limitations to the Holy Spirit in you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know what it is that God's speaking to you about, but there are no restrictions or barriers or limitations in your life. I didn't share this story in first service, but I'm about to share it with you in second service to bring this home as a reality. I was born and raised in the streets of inner city Chicago, okay? I lived in inner city Chicago. I lived in gang-infested neighborhoods in Chicago. I lived with rats and roaches in Chicago. I lived with a 16-year-old, 17-year-old mom and a 21-year-old Latino dad. If there was a barrier or an obstacle, Al Perez lived it and had it. At that time, Chicago public schools were the worst they were ever in the 70s growing up. Terrible. And so everything. I wasn't allowed to go off a city block. My mom and dad be like, you go off that city block, you're getting beat. Because they knew how dangerous it was. So whenever I come to the edge of the alley, it's like there wasn't a fence or anything, but it's like in my mind, I couldn't go past that alley because my mom and dad ingrained it in us. You're not going past that spot. It's not safe in this neighborhood. So whenever I come to the edge of the alley, I'm like, I can't go beyond that alley. It was something mental in my head. So really, I played kick the can, played with cardboard boxes. I had to be creative what I did. Stick ball, all those kinds of things that most kids take for granted, that my kids take for granted. All those barriers and limitations. About 2 years ago, I was heading up to the Capitol. I've gone to the Capitol numerous times for numerous things, but I was going to the Capitol this time to meet the House GOP speaker at the time, to meet with him on behalf of Latino initiatives. And so I'm walking across this big parking lot that I've walked across many, many a times. And all of a sudden, I froze for a moment in the parking lot. A very routine trip to the Capitol. But I froze for a moment, and God wanted to talk to me right before I was going to the building. And I stopped and had a flashback of when I was running around in the alleys as a kid. And then I thought for a moment, that little kid that had barriers and restrictions in the alleyway is now going to speak to the House GOP speaker here about opportunities for Latino people. And I thought, and so I stood outside. And I was crying for a moment, get my composure before I go right back in there, because God was speaking to me about something. He was speaking to me about barriers I had all my whole life, that I had limitations all my whole life until the day that I got to know him and realized that his plan for me was much more vast than I thought. I'm not a politician, guys. I'm a preacher. What am I doing going in to speak to a politician about Latino affairs? It's nowhere in my skill set. It's nowhere in my grid work. What am I doing here? You know what God was trying to tell me? God was trying to tell me there's absolutely no stinking barriers that he's put on your life when he's called you to do something. And when somebody else says no, I'll find somebody that will say yes. And I believe this morning God is saying yes to many of you in this place. I don't know what the barrier is in your life. You can't look at the past and say that in my past I came from this and from this and I came from, you know, I'm the only person in my family tree that went on to go to a 4-year university and graduated. Everybody else was dropouts. My mom was 15 when she had my sister out of wedlock, 16 when she had me, lost a baby at 17, had my brother at 18. She was a teenage mom. An eighth grade dropout, my dad was a dropout in high school at the age of 17. If there was anything I could tell you that was wrong or had an opposition, I lived it. And I'm standing here today, not as somebody special, not as somebody gifted, not as somebody talented. I'm standing here today to tell you there's a great God that is in you, who is in you. And the Bible says it's in you. He lives and moves and has his being. And there's absolutely nothing too difficult for you to do. I had a daughter that doctors told me would die.
But that's what doctors said, men who have limitations. But a living God pushed that barrier down 2,000 years ago. And he had a miracle in mind for Al Perez. And he has a miracle in mind for you too. I don't care if you came from alcoholism. I don't care if you came from a divorce. I don't care if the barrier is an illness. I don't care if it's something ethnic. I don't care if it's something social economic. There is absolutely no barrier in Christ Jesus that God has not already done for you. Now the problem is you. What are you willing to walk into that God has called you to do, Zion Lutheran? And you can't say that's not my place. Because when I was walking across that parking lot, I'm like, what in the heck am I doing here? I shouldn't be, somebody else, a state rep, somebody should be going in here. No, God said, you, Al, you, Dave, you. I'm sending you. Because most people, out of fear, probably said no somewhere. Do you know the fear of man, the fear of people, the fear of your past, the fear of your life, fear of your health, the fear of, fear is the most crippling, it's not something, in fear, you'd be surprised what it will do to put a barrier up. Fear to say peace to you, to a Muslim brother in here. Peace to somebody that looks different than you. Peace to somebody else that's poor or somebody that's, there's always these apprehensions we have. Let me tell you something. I have no apprehensions about anything in my life. Why? Because he has shown himself faithful on my behalf. We were just saying it over here when, with Grace in the cafeteria here. We were talking this morning over coffee. I said, you know what? It's interesting to know. Most of us here and what God is doing in this place, if a John Klein didn't say yes to God, a yes, where would most of this multicultural scope be? And Corinne couldn't even get up here and tell his story. He wouldn't even be in the picture today if there wasn't a yes by a man several years ago. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Your yes can set a domino effect to a lot of things that happen in this community. And you don't necessarily have to have the skill set or the intelligence or whatever, the degree to do it, because those can become obstacles. All you need to know is grab the living God's hand and say, where do you want to go, God? I'm going to go. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Because he's a big God. You don't serve a God with barriers. I was just talking about Dr. Brad here this morning, how he is teaching and how he's training and a lot of our pastors here, Pastor Gakunzi and Pastor Ring. I mean, all the pastors he's teaching and instructing, a white guy. Somebody's willing to say yes. By the way, not everything in your life and my life is going to be conducive to your taste. Neither does everything that God calls you and I to do is something that you're very excited about, or that it won't have some challenges, or that it won't be sacrificial. But what would happen if we didn't say yes to God on some things, where you would be? You know what, to be honest with you, as much as I see, I think there's much more that God wants to do even in my own heart, and I probably had insecurities or fears or reservations or challenges just like you. Can today we just move the barriers because God didn't put them there? God did not put those barriers in your life. Raising a special needs child has incredible challenges. You have no idea. And I don't play victim to it. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. That's not the goal. The goal is to tell you that the same God that's carrying me is the same God that's carrying you. And he will get us through whatever it is we're walking through right now. And there are several of you in this room that are maybe walking through transition in your life. You're walking through relationship challenges. You may not like your job, and you're struggling with things on your job. There are things maybe in your health, maybe with your kids, maybe with you. What is the barrier? Christ has died to tear them things down. Why? Because there's just some barriers that we put up, and nobody put them there. When I stepped forward going to college, I didn't say, oh, guess what? My dad didn't raise me. Me and my dad didn't have a great relationship. He was a drunk, you know. So this is the reason why I act this way, I am this way. No. Mm-mm. Listen to yourself sometimes and what you say out of your mouth. Are you speaking barriers? Because it's in your heart. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Sometimes you don't even realize what you're saying. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. When God's saying, yeah, you can. I'm telling you. And if you haven't heard it up to this point this morning, I'm telling you, yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That's why we came here this morning, because it doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter how young you are. And if God be with you, there's absolutely no barrier in this city. Political, marketplace, educational, governmental, arts and entertainment, there's not a barrier here that Christ has not already knocked down so that you can have access to whatever it is he wants to use you to do. So I want to pray with you this morning, because you're called to be a barrier breaker. You're called to be a barrier breaker. John Klein is a barrier breaker. My question to you is, what barrier are you called to break down right now so that God can use you to the fullest? And don't minimize, even if it's small, don't think, well, it's just this and it's just that. Because sometimes the biggest opportunities come through the smallest doors and the smallest places. Amen. I want to pray for you. Would you stand this morning?
Paul is saying, look, he's trying to say something in terms of a people, a body. When he got ready to overthrow the Midianites during the time of the judges, when he raised up Gideon, he said, you're going to smite the Midianites as one man, an army of 300. Well, how could you say an army of 300 fighting the Midianites as one man? Well, because God is choosing us to be one people. That's why the Bible says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. I never, when I'm a part of a place, disassociate myself from this place. If somebody's hurting in this room, I hurt with you. If somebody's celebrating and rejoicing in this room, I celebrate with you. The problem today is, as long as it ain't me, as long as it ain't happening to me, that's their problem. And then we give the nice little cordial smiles and, you're going to get there. I've sat with people and wept with people. I don't even know why I wept with people, because I can probably relate with the pain, because you and I have been there somewhere. That's why a body is so important, significant, because the days I can't do it, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need your encouragement. I'm going to need your prayers, because there are days that the body, one part hurts and the other part strengthened, and one part's not doing so well. That's why we're a body, because we need each other. That's why we meet together here on Sundays. It's because there has to come a time when you're walking through something, you're not walking through it alone. It's a shame if you walked in this building this morning going through something and nobody ministered to you, nobody prayed with you, nobody encouraged you. Why do you even want to go to church? Shouldn't this be the place that you are encouraged and built up and spiritually edified? Yes. Has it been an easy week for me? Oh, no. I got a wife at home right now texting me, please get home soon. I'm not doing so hot. And we've got a no nurse with us. I got challenges. I'm going to say something I didn't say the first service. Let me tell you something. 2017, 2016, our best days are yet to come in this place. Get yourself ready, because God is getting ready a people in this place to reach an entire city. And a foreshadowing of it was when I was in this room over here Thursday, and I was with the chief of police and Des Moines Public School officials. And you know what the Des Moines Public School official said to me? He said, I was on the phone with him. I was weeping on the phone because this kid had got shot. And I was like, I'm just so fed up with, you know, kids not eating in schools. I'm getting so tired of listening to the woes. And he said to me, whatever you need, you call me. Second in command to the Ahart. Barrier. And all over this place today, I hear those Jericho. It's finished. Let's walk in what God called us to do, Zion Lutheran, and that is to walk in unlimited possibilities. Money's not an issue. Manpower's not an issue. Nothing's an issue here. Not a past marriage, not a past mistake, not issues you're going through. If you do that, you minimize what Christ did at the cross. I'm taking a little bit longer than I normally do, because I just feel it in my heart. Somebody came in here today that needed to be encouraged.
I want you to bow your head for a moment. And if you're going through a transition, you're going through a struggle, you're going through, don't let your pride stand in the way. I'm just going to just briefly just lift up a hand and say, Al, I need prayer today. I'm going to pray. Just lift up a hand. You're going through challenges, going through struggles, going through opposition. You're fighting something. Maybe it's something going on in your own mind, in your own heart. Just lift up your hand. I'm just going to pray. You came in here today, you came in here discouraged. You're walking through some challenges and there's some things going on. And it can be in your marriage. It could be with your kids. It could be with your job. You're sick of your job. You feel like you're working, and you're not seeing anything happen. And you just feel like I'm continuously fighting something. Okay, I want to pray for you. You can put your hand down. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus and a mighty God, before Pastor Tina comes right now to encourage us and that we partake in the body, I'm going to ask you right now for everybody that lifted their hands, they're saying, I surrender it, God. Up until this point, I've been striving in my own strength. I've been dealing with my own thoughts and my own emotions, and I need you to come rescue me. I give up. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own, raise these kids on my own, be the perfect spouse on my own. I'm tired of the job I'm in. I figure, God, I know I got to have this job. I know I got to do this, but it's frustrating. God, I really don't feel like I'm doing my passion. I feel like I've got barriers, and some of them are cultural barriers. Some of them are barriers in money and finance. And God, I just feel like I'm living a life full of walls and barriers. Well, today, in the name of Jesus, Lord, like the children of Israel that walked around silently around the walls of Jericho, that marched around their barriers, today, God, we are surrounding our barriers. And Lord, it says on the seventh day, the priests brought out their shofars, and a shabak went out, and a sound went out that brought those walls down. And so, Lord, everything in our life, from our past to our present, that has been a wall, this morning in this place, it has to come down in the name of Jesus. And today, God, we take the first step. We take that first city. We take that Jericho today. And we say, God, in this place today, as of for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to believe God, and we're walking out of this place different. We're going back into our homes and our jobs and our ministries, God, and something different's happening. And so, God, I just thank you. It's not defined. I'm not defined by positions and titles. I'm not defined by a racial color. I'm not defined by, God, who I know and what I don't know. And I'm not defined by a degree on my wall. I'm not defined by those things of the flesh. I'm defined, as Pastor Brent shared, because I said yes to Jesus, and I'm a child of God. And so, Lord, I thank you today that you're good. As we go into this week, God, I pray that we not forget Sunday. Today, when we walk out those doors, all the rubble from our walls stays in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?